Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
So scouting is a big part of our life. You know, I've struggled with some of the things that the Boy Scout nationally have done. From the political side and then also the faith side. I think there's an important micro versus macro conversation. Welcome back to the Catholic Dads Podcast.
Hey, this is Chad.
And this is Jeff.
And thanks for joining us this morning. And the banter topic today is organic and clean and healthy living.
Awesome.
I wonder why. So my wife has been on this kick for clean, green, organic, everything, mm-hmm. which is why that nice jar or you know, water dispenser is next to our sink to filter out the water to like zero solids. Mm-hmm. We have a whole line of cleaning products in the house that is like, you could, I guess, drink it as well as clean your floors and toilets and countertops with it. The food that we get is all organic, and all of that. And I just have to say that, you know, a couple of things. The first thing, if it's like a snapshot, like a high level overview of what I think this must be doing for our family, is in that water cooler.
Yeah.
You know, water looks clean. Yep. You know, when you pour it out of the sink, it looks okay. When you get it out of the refrigerator, you know, door dispenser, it looks okay. And you get this little reader with that dispenser.
Yeah?
And so you can check it so you know when to change the filter.
Okay, nice.
And I don't remember the readings. I want to say that the normal tap water was like 130 or something like that, solids. And I guess it's PPM.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should know this. I mean, this is like right up my alley, and I don't. The door, which are, I don't know if, you got it out of the tap thing, or out of the dispenser, so you didn't see. The refrigerator door, whenever you click to go get the water, it'll show you that the filter needs to be replaced.
Right.
And it's been like that for, I think, a year.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, terrible. But even then, it's still filtering solids. Like down, I think its reading was like around the 100 range or something like that. So it was less. It wasn't too much less. Obviously, the filter needs to be changed. And then to go to that is like zero.
Nice.
And you're like, wow, I wonder what that really means. Well, what happens is you fill up this pitcher and you pour it in to the top, and then it seeps, gravity feeds down and fills up the, mm-hmm. the reservoir. So what I didn't realize would happen is this, the top thing is plastic.
Uh-huh.
And all of these little particles are settling down. And just, this is before the filter even.
Uh-huh.
So like if you opened up the top little silver thingy that's right. on top of it and you look at it, it is like, it's like not disgusting, but it's just got these little flecks, little specks of, of dark, you know, sediment. I don't know what it is. And I'm like, you know, I'm a big fan of drinking tap water, you know? That was what I was drinking.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? No, thanks.
Yep.
So anyway, it's like, I think that's like a high level view of what the organic argument is. You don't really know what's, you know, the ultimate, you know, yeah, it's good to know that this is a clean cow that was raised in an organic pasture that's giving us this organic milk. And so it's without, you know, all this other stuff that's hidden, you know, but when you see those things that are hidden, it's kind of gross, you know? So you're like, huh, maybe there is something to this.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think after the, we've talked about this at our house. So we just filter the, we use our filter through the refrigerator, but, you know, after our Harvey
filter.
Yeah. Pretty religiously actually. It, like on the day.
Nice.
But the, you know, after Harvey, and that was kind of the water, I mean, the debate about organic, we won't get into that on the patent. That's not a banter topic, right? But for me, like the Harvey water, right? So, you know, for those of you that know, we live in Kingwood. It's just a little bit northeast of, or northwest of Lake Houston, which was a huge reservoir that flooded, you know, massively during Hurricane Harvey. It also happens to be the water for Houston. It's our drinking water. And it like grosses me out, right? Because and not just for Harvey, but you think about everybody's garages that were flooded, and the ant poison and the fertilizer and the chlorine and the whatever it was, you know, that was in those garages that all got dissolved and swept away down into the lake, right? Which is our water table. And then, you know, from a trash standpoint, which maybe this is a segue into what we're talking about in nature and everything, you can go down to East End Park. And if you take one of the trails that go out to, I think it's probably Peach Creek that's flowing into there, it's nasty. Like there's like styrofoam and cups and, you know, all kinds of crazy trash and stuff just floating along the top of the surface, right? And all that's our drinking water. So I'm with you on the drinking water
for sure.
We had, when we lived in Colorado, we got a, it was a new neighborhood in an industrial area. I won't go into the whole story. But, you know, right next to Rocky Mountain Arsenal, which is where they made nerve agents and chemical agents during World War II. So we were worried about the water. So we got the water softener, whole house filter, RO system. We got all that stuff put in. And yeah, I mean, it made a big difference. The whole house filter I'd love to do here because you can get, we had a two-stage, which was sediment and everything else. And then it went through an activated charcoal filter. So it also took out like the chlorine and all the other stuff. So no, I'm with you on the water.
It's, I'm so glad that you said activated gross. Charcoal because that's what the kids automatic go-to to Kim is whenever she's telling them something. It's like, activated charcoal, activated charcoal.
Right.
So it's hilarious. That's our term, our coin.
Nice.
Term. All right. So on to the topic.
Let's do it.
Da-da-da-da-da. Shut up. Okay, so we do have a shout-out. So this is to Vince Salmon, and Vince, back in April of last year, had dropped us a line on our Facebook page, and it was so funny because at the time we would, you know, be really harping on, hey, find us on Facebook and send us an email, and we'll get back to you, we promise.
Right.
And, you know, through a technical difficulty, I really wasn't seeing the emails that were coming in. It's like, nobody's talking to us. But anyway, so Vince had sent an email that had sat in that inbox in a long time. So Vince writes that, hey, thanks for doing the show. Very timely for issues on our culture. I noticed that you've mentioned the Scouts multiple times and have even noted some of the issues. Why don't you give some coverage to organizations that are much more in line with the goals of the Catholic Dads? I'm involved with Trail Life USA, which is explicitly Christ-centered. People often think of it as Christian Scouts, but it's not a scouting organization. It is a ministry that operates through outdoor activity. And then he goes on to say some of the stuff that they do when they're chartering organization. And then there's also, he mentions there's an organization called the Catholic Troops of St. George, which could be interesting. So today's topic is for you, Vince. We're going to talk about Scouts.
There you go.
And my exclusive and, or I should say extensive internet research that I performed for this topic. So, you know, as a Catholic dad, what's one thing that we don't have a whole lot of?
Mm-hmm. It would be time. Yeah.
Time to do research, proper research for topics. So I'll apologize for the, how little I'll be able to go into, say, like Trail Life USA and the Troops of St. George, but we will talk about them from what I see. Mm-hmm. And I found some things and we'll just talk about it. And I'll let Jeff, the scout master, kick it off.
That sounds good. So, so scouting is a big part of our life. My younger son actually just joined the troop 2 weeks ago, which has been really exciting. In full disclosure, we've looked into some of these other programs, and obviously we haven't gone in that direction. I think there's an important micro versus macro conversation here, and I guess to be honest, it's, you know, I've struggled with some of the things that the Boy Scout nationally, you know, the macro level have done, from the political side and then also the faith side. But on the micro side, you know, it's still a local run organization. And so a lot of the things, and I'll get a little maybe defensive here, right? A lot of the things that you see people go a little bit overboard on are all controllable at the micro level. And honestly, I don't see how they impact at the micro level if you want a troop that's going to follow your beliefs. Now, if you don't have that as an opportunity near where you live, that's a different situation, right? But, you know, the troop that we're in is chartered through St. Martha's. We go to Scout Sunday. We take all the boys to Mass. We make sure that we end our campouts early on Sunday so everybody makes it home for Mass, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have meetings on Monday, which is the traditional Scout day. We have them on Tuesday because Upper Room and Edge and all these other things are all on Monday in the church. So, you know, there is a bit of that. You know, I know we like to beat up organizations because they don't follow our political beliefs, and we want to, you know, it's easy to do that. But then at the micro level, you have scout dads and scout parents that are putting a bunch of time and energy into these boys. And for me, and I haven't had them in Trail Life and I haven't had them in the Troop of St. George and all these other things. But for me, the scout program, if properly, you know, created in the way that I see it done in our unit, and I have nothing to do with that, to be honest. I'm a scout master, but I just show up and I'm a gopher. It's all the heritage and the people. There's great, great men of faith. Some of them aren't Catholic, but that doesn't even matter because their goal is to make our boys the best possible leaders and boys and men that they can. And it's reflected throughout everything they do. And honestly, I don't believe there's any better program. And this is the part that gets me really upset because, you know, I think we're losing boys that could do this program, right? There's no better program for our boys in this culture than Scouts, right? It's boy-led, the responsibility is put back on them. You don't answer their questions unless, you know, it's going to be something dangerous or whatever. You put it back on them. They run the program. They run the meetings. I go to the it's called the PLC, which is the leadership meeting for the boys. You know, you're talking about 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that are running a meeting of 8 or 9 of their peers, keeping it on topic, keeping it on within the time frame, and then making sure that the meeting notes are being recorded, capturing action items, assigning to do. There's no better training anywhere in the world for a 15-year-old boy to be doing that. And then you add in all the moral component. And yes, there is a spiritual component because we're through St. Martha's. There's a bit of a Catholic thing. But I would say probably a third to more of the troop isn't Catholic. And that's perfectly okay, right? We're still getting fed. And the point of it isn't that it's a church ministry. If you're looking for a church ministry, then you can go do one of those, right? It's a ministry through the church for development. But, you know, it's not intended to be a Catholic ministry. We were in Conquest years ago when the kids were really, really young, and that's through the
Legionnaires, I believe.
Yes, thank you. So it's done by the Legionnaires, and it's pretty right out there that they're trying to develop boys in a program and get them into the religious life, right? That's a big That's a big goal of that program, is to find and, you know, and help men find their vocation and hopefully, you know, create great priests out of that. And it's a great program. I really liked a lot of things about it. There was a points competition program within it. So I know all those programs are out there. The micro versus macro is, yes, Boy Scouts of America, which is now called BSA or whatever, has made some decisions that I would agree with.
Is it still called Boy Scouts?
No, it's Scouting BSA is what they had to change it to, because of the girls.
Yeah, so just to level it and make sure everybody is familiar with what we're talking about, there were two major shakeups, and what I say shakeups in the Scouts. One of them was when they allowed actively gay boys to join.
Yep.
Or, you know, not to say actively, I guess openly is more the...
Well, so it was openly gay boys and openly gay leaders, right? So the leaders were more of the problem. And for me, and so Vince, I appreciate the email. This isn't anything personal, but Trail Life, right on their website, says, we will not allow anyone of that persuasion in our organization. For me, there's no better organization for a boy that might be questioning to be around men that can support him in that, you know, discernment, if you will, right? Closing the door right out of the bat, for me, that doesn't work for an organization, right? And I'm not I'm very politically conservative, and I understand that. That for me is off-putting, right? Now, when you get to a leader standpoint, so none of the leaders in my troop or in our unit aren't a parent in the mm-hmm. troop, right? And so it is problematic to me, and I would not have, you know, I wouldn't have our kids in a unit that's run by, you know, a single guy that's not tied to the troop in some way or whatever. And I can see that could be very awkward, right?
Yeah.
So I can understand that. But in terms of the boys, and that's one of the main, so I'll let you get to the next one, but that's one of the main ones, right? So go ahead.
Yeah, and then the next one was when they allowed girls in Boy Scouts.
Right. Yep. So, and so Aaron and I have struggled with that one too. You know, so let's go, you know, let's talk about the facts, Chad. So the facts are, Boy Scouts have always been co-ed. There's a thing called venturing, which at 14 allows for co-ed units, which is a unit would be like a troop, right?
Yeah.
And they do high adventure stuff. And they've always had that, right? So girls have been a part of Boy Scouts USA from, you know, 14 on. Many of the camp counselors in the high adventure camps are female. There's one of the families in Kingwood where there was one of the founders of the Scouts. Their daughters got very involved in Scouts and ended up being counselors during the summer in college up at Philmont and did all the crazy stuff and all the high adventure stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been a part of it. The United States is one of the only scouting organizations in the world that wasn't co-ed. And I think that's because maybe, and I could be wrong on this, that Girl Scouts started here. And so there was already a scouting organization for women or girls where in some other countries, I think it was just scouting, right? And I think it was just chartered under the same umbrella. You know, they're not mixed troops. The St. Martha's troop is never going to have girls in it. You know, it has to be its own unit of all girls or its own unit of all boys, where it's going to get, you know, unusual or trying is that there's probably going to be more girls at like summer camps, and we have a merit badge thing coming up, and there'll be girls obviously mixed in with the boys there and that sort of thing. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I'm still trying to form my opinion on that because I see it both ways. I can understand why Scouts did it, right? And so if you want to get really upset at the Scouts and pull your kids out and go somewhere else and, you know, all that stuff, get upset at the culture that's forcing them to do that, right? And that's part of the conversation is, you know, Scouts, you know, they had to be proactive because they were going to get sued. They'd already gotten sued. The whole gay leader, you know, organization is, you can't have an organization that discriminates on these things, and they were getting sued and their federal protections in terms of scouting as an organization were being threatened. You can say, and it's a perfectly reasonable argument to, well, you know what, that's the time, you know, we have to stand on our principles. We have to stand up to the culture. I agree with all of that. They didn't, right? And you know, in one standpoint, I wish they would. But on the flip side, I want there to be a scouting program in the future. And the organization is right now on the verge of bankruptcy, you know, and their numbers have decreased every year since 1968, I think, on a year-on-year basis. So 1968 was like the peak of scouting. Ever since then, the numbers have dropped through the floor. In fact, I was reading an article where the girls, you know, bringing the girls in was really part of trying to just get the numbers up. It's an economics thing.
Oh, right.
But the flip side was, and this guy was in Pennsylvania, I think is where he was writing, he can't find a scout troop. His son went through, and I think he was a conservative commentator, but his older son went through Scouts wherever they lived, and then they moved to Pennsylvania. He can't find a unit close enough to his house because they just, there aren't any, right? So that's a different experience than we have here because we have a bunch of really good scouting programs. There's a bunch of different troops in Kingwood and that sort of thing. But
yeah. Yeah. So just to talk a little bit about some of the other ones. So the Trail Life USA, I again apologize for the lack of in-depth research to it, is a non-aligned scouting organization providing youth mentorship and character development to more than 26,000 boys in the U.S. The organization was founded in 2013 in response to the changes of the membership policy to allow the participation of openly gay youth. And like Jeff said, the gay leaders. All charters of Trail Life USA must pledge to follow a statement of faith. The organization is Trinitarian and Christian. However, youth of all or no religious beliefs are allowed to join. But individual charter organizations may limit troop membership to boys of a certain faith or membership in a certain organization. And I believe that's how Vince is set up, because he mentioned they do mass, they do rosary, they do all of that. Mm-hmm. So again, it sounds like a macro versus micro level on the Trail Life USA as well as scouts, and I imagine on most of them. But at least in this one, you know, you're starting off with like a base of there's not going to be, you know, any shenanigans of, you know, who's going to be leading your troop. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that we talked that was mentioned was the Troops of St. George. So the Troops of St. George is a fraternal Catholic nonprofit apostolate for priests, men, young men looking for a life of adventure coupled with virtue, founded in 2013 by Catholic author and professor Dr. Taylor Marshall. They become a collection of troops that do the following: experience reverent and beautiful masses on mountaintop vistas, pray the rosary with other men around fire pits in the freezing cold, catch a fish Friday meal by fly fishing for trout, go to confession with our priest while kneeling on moss in the woods, teach our sons archery, rock climbing, marksmanship, fishing, survival skills, and Catholic virtues, foster a love for the priesthood and reverence for the sacrament of matrimony, support our local parish, our priests, our bishops, our community by being available for works of mercy and service. And then it's got a mission statement is the Troops of St. George Apostolate aims to use the outdoors as our canvas and the sacraments as our path to light the way of formation of holy Catholic men and boys, whether called to the vocation of the priesthood, the religious life, or that of holy fatherhood. Our fathers and sons will take a prayerful pilgrimage together to fulfill Christ's desire for them to grow in virtue and in their holy Catholic faith as they journey toward heaven. So, I mean, that sounds pretty, you know, mm-hmm. interesting. So, you know, from a it sounds like everything that the scouts do, but in a Catholic like context, you right. know what I mean?
So I think those are both great. For the challenges for scouting has the high adventure camps, right? They have the Philmonts of the world. They have Northern Tier. They have Sea Base, Swamp Base in Louisiana, which hopefully we'll get out to, where you kayak out to houseboats that are in the middle of the swamp, and you do treks through the swamp, and you know you could do all of those with those other programs, I'm sure. But the organization and the heritage, the Norman Rockwell, the history,
oh, yeah.
you know, all of that stuff is all there in Scouts. It's in my our reason for staying with Scouts. One is because there's no other organization like it that has those opportunities. So I have no doubt that you can go do high adventure with the other units, but and I think was it Trail Life? I believe they use Scout camp resources too. I think they can go to Philmont and stuff. I think, but I mean that's one of the big things. And the problem with some of the attacks on the scouting organization were because these are in like national forests sometimes that were chartered under some sort of we'll give you a penny per year. Kind of rent, right?
Yeah.
Back when scouts were, you know, in the culture that they held up was in held in high esteem, right? And so that's what the attacks were coming on, especially in the homosexual thing. They were going after the people that were attacking scouts for their own agenda were going after those sort of things, right? And so they were looking at these huge, you know, scout camps that were going to have to close, you know, and if you close all of these resources, that's a big part of scouting, right? Going to Philmont, yeah. going to Northern Tier, going to these really high resource needing kind of camps and things. You know, if you had to pay the fair market value of a, you know, couple thousand acre ranch in New Mexico, that's going to be pretty tough to do, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they attacked them in the first place. So, you know, I understand all of the all of the issues around scouts. I had a good conversation the other day with a member of the LDS church, and LDS is pulling all of their support of scouting next year, which I want to say it's like 20 to 30% of scouts nationwide are in LDS, and we use the LDS church facilities even here in Kingwood for meetings for the district and all that kind of stuff. So, I that's going to be a severe blow to scouting as an organization. There was an article back in January that they were considering bankruptcy Chapter 11 protection as an organization. So, I would say the culture is done what it's done, right? Scouting. Yeah. I mean, scouting is, properly reflects a culture of a couple generations ago, right? And the morals, the scout oath, what we're trying to instill in our men, not toxic masculinity or whatever that nonsense is, but, good, solid masculinity is absolutely attacked. And we've had those podcasts, right? And scouts is part of that masculine view in the culture that is trying to be torn down. So, for us, we're going at it a different way. Rather than leaving scouts, we're putting all of our time, energy, and effort into the local unit to at least give our boys in this time the experience of scouting to the best of our ability, knowing full well that their boys probably won't have the same organization to do it, which is tragic, right?
So if they do file, just for my knowledge, my lack of knowledge, if they do file Chapter 11, they go bankrupt. And I know that Chapter 11 is like protection or whatever that means, but what happens then and what happens later? I mean, because it seems like at first, this is total my lack of knowledge. Again, I'm a dummy when it comes to this, but like Toys R Us.
Yep.
They filed Chapter 11 or protection for Chapter 11. And the next thing I know, the Toys R Us that we have here is gone, and all the Toys R Us's around us are gone.
Yep.
But does that mean they would pull out? Would they close certain districts or councils or whatever? I mean, what would that mean and how would that affect, say, the local? Because we're talking about the macro versus micro.
Yep.
And you're saying it's, we can control these things on the micro level, but we can't control what's on the macro level. If the macro goes away, what happens to the micro?
It's a good question. I really don't know. In being like a nonprofit, I'm not sure what Chapter 11 does for that either. And I'll probably be wrong on this, but Chapter 11 basically allows you to take some time and not have to pay your bills, from what I understand, right? So you can restructure, so you can find investors, so you can basically get out from under the weight of that for a little while. And I think like in Toys R Us's example, like they went under Chapter 11, they were looking for investors. They couldn't bring any investors in to help with their debt and everything else. And so they went under, right? I think that's kind of what happened there.
Okay.
So for the local, I don't know, right? I mean, the national scouting organization goes bankrupt. Suddenly they're selling off, or would be forced to sell off maybe some of their properties like Philmont or some of these other organizations, right? Or they go out and they look for investors and hopefully you can set up some sort of trust and some sort of thing to keep it going. Do they close districts? Probably. Do they consolidate districts? Probably, right? The council and district here in Houston apparently is like the biggest in the nation from what I understand, and the most active. So, we may not be impacted too greatly other than maybe we don't get the big camps and things that we used to do. I'm just talking out my ear now. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But like places like Pennsylvania where there's very little scouting already, maybe it just goes away. I don't know, right? It's a sad time to be sure. I love the program. I love what it does for our boys. The maturity I've seen in my boys, the growth I've seen in my boys, there's nothing else like it. I mean, to the point where it should be like, in every school in America, this is the way that we recapture a lot of the culture that we've lost when it comes to boys, right?
Yeah,
this is
my answer, right? When you're in a culture that rails against that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no wonder why it's
if you're treading off the water. In fact, that, there's a unit here in Kingwood that got kicked out of their local elementary school, right? Because they just didn't want to deal with it anymore. And so I think you see that, right? You see the PTA boards and you see the people that just don't like the politics around it. And that's really the tragic thing. There's not different topic, but there's no like live and let live in the culture of death if you want to say it that way, right? Just, you know, you can't say, oh, well, scouts are going to do their thing, right? That's fine, right? Why is nobody suing Trail Life because they're, you know, discriminating against gay people? Because nobody cares, right? Sorry to Trail Life people, and I'm sure you care about your organization, but there's not a Hollywood elitist, you know, liberal, you know, homosexual, gay agenda person that's interested in an organization that has 26,000 people in it, right?
Yeah.
A multi-million dollar organization that impacts kids all across the country. Oh, we can mess with that, right? That's the target. So, you know, that's really the tragedy. When the LDS Church pulls out of Scouts, you know, it's going to be really difficult. So, you know, for our family, we're all about just getting our boys through the program as quick as we can. So, you know, we've got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old. We just need to, we're going to get them their Eagle awards, right? We've got a Scouter mom in the house, and there's no chance, you know, my older boy to brag on him. He's already got 43 merit badges or something like that. He'll probably have something like 60 or 70 by the time that he's done. You only need 26 for Eagle.
Oh, wow.
So he's done amazing things. He's been exposed to amazing things. 26 Eagle required, and then I think you need to have 12 more or whatever, but, you know, he's gotten to do amazing things, and it's a tragedy that because of some people's agendas, you know, that is now completely threatened, right?
Yeah.
And if the Boy Scouts go under, Girl Scouts are still going to be around, right? Because I'm not going to sue the Girl Scouts to let my boys in.
That's a good point. I mean, and you know, it's a little bit of a downer of a topic and a downer of a thought. But as you know, as parents of boys, you know, this is something that we deal with, and I deal with this in that, you know, when my kids finally just kind of petered out of scouting, you know, it was actually before really all of this other stuff had happened. I think maybe one of them was still in 2013, but for the most part they had gotten out, and you know, just they kind of lost interest, and we didn't really force the hand. But I mean, for those of you that are out there that are looking for an opportunity, I mean, take Jeff's comments on the macro versus micro, and if you're, you know, still uneasy about that, know that there are other organizations, the Trail Life USA, the Troops of St. George. You can look at Conquest. I mean, I'd actually started thinking about maybe putting the kids in Conquest, and I haven't pursued that very much, because I know that the Conquest thing is about the older ones are leading the younger ones in activities. But, you know, the more I have looked, the less it becomes apparent that it's like scouting, because I do want something like Scouts. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've got kids that don't want to do anything but play video games. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, we need to maybe just say, look, this is good for you. It's good for your character. Yep. You know, it's just like, you know, doing chores and stuff like
exactly.
that. Good for your character.
Yep.
We haven't really crossed that bridge though. But anyway, know that there are some, you know, consequences. And if you feel like you're supporting something that you can't support, there are alternatives. Yep. You know, but going back, you had mentioned, you know, Girl Scouts, and, you know, it come around this time of year, you know, Girl Scout cookies are being sold. And of course there's the link between Girl Scouts and Planned
Parenthood.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, where do you draw your line in the sand? You know, we've talked about, I think one of our first podcasts was, you know, cultural lines in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where do you draw your line to say, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm not going to support this thing because they do this thing.
Right.
And, you know, I just got to say, you know, I'll be honest, you know, when I see people say, I'm not going to buy Girl Scout cookies because they support, Planned Parenthood. Well, I think that's the whole micro versus macro argument all over again,
yep.
But on a much more holier than thou level.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because I've seen people, good people, you know, that did post on Facebook, you know, sorry, don't send your girl to my door selling Girl Scout cookies because y'all support Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And yet they're drinking Cokes, and yet they're supporting these other organizations by buying their products, which, I mean, if you're going to cut out everything in your life that supports Planned Parenthood, you better do a research list, and you better be self-sufficient.
Right.
Because there are so many things that are out there that support Planned Parenthood that you've got that we probably have in our house right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like, but you're going to punish the little girl who you know, by the way, because she's your neighbor.
Yeah.
And she's selling for her troop.
Yep.
You know, or whatever they call their.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I got kind of, you know, probably I was a jerk on that one. That was several years ago. But I mean, but for real, I mean, you do have to draw your line. Where are you going to draw your line? And maybe for scouts, you find that good troop. You see that they're associated with your local parish.
Yep.
And that there's little chance, I guess I should say, that these things that are happening on the macro level get down to the micro level. But what happens when it does?
Because right.
There might be that family that moves in that says, you know, it's within our rights. I want my girl, or mm-hmm. or you know, the gay leader that says it's within my rights to do that.
Yep.
And I'm going to do this. And it so doesn't matter that we're associated with St. Martha's or with your local parish.
So I would challenge that, because that can't happen, right? So that there's a local committee. So every unit has a committee, right? And that committee can choose who the leaders are and who the people are. So, you know, on the micro level for that standpoint, and the girl, we've had girls that have come, you know, we had gotten an email last fall about, you know, hi, my daughter's in Weebelows and we're looking for a new troop. And my email back was, if you'd like to start a girls Weebelow, you know, den in the Cub Scout pack, please feel free, but we don't have one at this time. Right? Because we don't, right? And so we don't need to start one if that family doesn't want.
So it has to be an all girls within, that mm-hmm. she couldn't just join?
No. Mm-mm. No. So okay. in Cub Scouts, it's co-ed, the pack is co-ed, but dens are not. So you would have a Weebelows den that's the girls and a Weebelows den that's the boys. So a fifth grade group of boys, for those that don't do scouts, a fifth grade group of boys and a fifth grade group of girls.
Okay.
And in Cub Scouts, all the Me Toos are there already, right? My daughters did the Cub Scout program with all of our boys. We all went camping together. They're all there already, right? So a Cub Scouts really doesn't matter.
Okay.
In the troop, then, you will not have a mixed troop, right? So it'll be all boys or all girls, and it's separate with separate leadership and separate everything, right? Where that's different is venturing, which starts when they're 14, and they've had that forever.
Okay.
So, I mean, it on one hand, it's kind of a lot about nothing. On the other hand, and that's why I said I'm still very much split on it, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, our boys don't have anything in this culture, right? Why isn't it okay for our boys to have one thing that can be theirs, right? And allowing girls into scouts now changes all of that, right? Now there's nothing for boys. This just for boys, right? There's nothing, right?
Yeah.
And that's the culture that we live in, right? There's no boys in Girl Scouts, right? They still have their own thing, right? But boys, no, we can't have the boys have their own thing. And that bothers me, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So I encourage everyone to do much more research than I did. If you're not pleased with the way the scouts are going, if you're concerned about some of the things that are happening at the macro level, there are some alternatives out there, and encourage everybody to go out there and seek for your own families, mm-hmm. you know, what fits your family and what fits your, where your line is drawn, and what you're willing to, you know, put up with or not put up with. And,
that's it.
Make the decision.
That's the bottom line. Do what's best for your family and make that decision. And, you know, and pray for the scouts, because it's a great program. And maybe the pendulum has swung all the way over now that maybe we can start coming back the other way. We'll see.
Maybe so.
All right.
Thanks for the definite good discussion, Jeff. I mean, you know way more about scouts than me and about these other organizations. So I think it lended a little bit more credibility than my extensive internet research.
Extensive. Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Appreciate it. Send us your thoughts and your feedback. This is a good one to debate. So.
Amen. St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Research.
Oh,
yeah. Extensive internet research this morning.
Yeah.
I just
minutes ago.
Literally.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.